Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Every year since 2002, the National Recording Registry at the Library of Congress has added 25 recordings of cultural significance to their registry. They've just announced this year's inductees, which span from 1918 to 1980, and include artists like Artie Shaw, The Ramones, Philip Glass. It brings the total collection up to 375 recordings, and joining us to discuss the 2012 inductees is Matthew Barton. He's the curator of recorded sound at the Library of Congress. Matt, this is getting to be an annual thing. Thanks for being with us. Yeah,
isn't it? I should plan a New York vacation around this sometime.
Now, we're talking about the 2012 inductees for 2013, right?
Mm-hmm.
So some basics here. Who does the nominating and the ultimate selecting of the 25 annual recordings that get into the registry?
The ultimate selections are made by the Librarian of Congress, Dr. James Billington. The nominations come from the public, and they also come from the Recording Board of the Library of Congress, which is includes employees of the Library of Congress, but also professionals from various parts of the music business.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's as we get to the end of the 12-month period, there's a deliberative process, and the nominations are finalized by the librarian.
Okay, and then once a recording is on the National Recording Registry, what does that actually mean?
Well, nothing, magic happens at that moment, except that a recording might be getting more attention than it has in many years.
Mm-hmm.
But, at our end, what we try to do is, seek out the master recording or the best possible copy, which is usually what you have to do with something, from the early days of recording and into the 40s and 50s often, and make that a part of the collection. We don't necessarily acquire the master, but we try to get an optimal high-resolution copy from whoever has possession of that
right.
master.
So the oldest one for this year's list, and again, this year being 2012, going into the Library of Congress in 2013, the oldest recording is from 1918, Marion Harris. There is no way you're going to find a master tape of that, so you just get the best quality.
Well, there was no tape,
first of all,
in 1918. You'd be looking for a metal stamper or something of that sort. And there actually are some items like that still in the world. I don't think her recording is one of them. So, yes, we'd be looking for an optimal copy. I'm happy to say that that's one we already have, though.
Now, you talk about getting the optimal copy of each recording. One of the albums that's on this year's list is the opera Einstein on the Beach by Philip Glass and Robert Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's been recorded 3 different times. There's the original kind of edited version that came out on Tomato Records in 79, then later Sony and Nonesuch each did full versions of the opera.
Right.
So how do you make that call?
Well, we were certainly aware of that, and that was part of the deliberations. And it came down to, the initial impact, that this was the Tomato version of it from the late 70s was the one that really put it on the map, so to speak, in popular consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
I was in high school when it came out, and I had no awareness of Philip Glass, but that record was in stores. It really reached a wider audience than recordings of that sort had to that point.
Well, and if we're talking about cultural significance, yes, this 1979 version of Philip Glass's Einstein on the Beach was the one that, as Matthew Barton has told us, introduced a lot of people to the sounds of Philip Glass's music and to this opera in particular called Einstein on the Beach.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. One, two, three, four, one.
We're speaking with Matthew Barton. He is the curator of recorded sound at the Library of Congress, and we're talking about this year's selected recordings for the National Recording Registry. So let's talk about some of your highlights, Matt, starting in 1947 with Frank Yankovic. Who is this?
Frank Yankovic and his Yanks. Well, Frank Yankovic is, I don't know that he ever was given that title, but he was very much the king of the polka scene from the late 40s until his death many years later. You know, he was a Slovenian-American, he was in Ohio, and was a veteran musician of many years, and he'd absorbed not only his parents' music, but the styles that were all around him. You know, what most Americans thought of as polka was very much a German brass-heavy kind of sound. And, you know, he introduced the style that was very quick and fleet and full of syncopations and ideas that came from pop and jazz music. He's very much a fusion artist, I guess you'd say.
and a particularly American one.
Yes.
This is Frank Yankovic and his Yanks with Just Because.
Just because you think you're so pretty, just because you think you're so hot, just because you think you've got something that nobody else has got. You've caused me to spend all my money. You've laughed and called me old Sandy.
Frank Yankovic and his Yanks from 1947. The song Just Because is now part of the Library of Congress's National Recording Registry. Culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant recordings from the years 1918 to 1980. Do the recordings need to be a certain age before they're eligible for the registry?
They need to be 10 years old or more.
Okay.
That's really the only chronological requirement.
Well, the most recent one, and also on your list of highlights from this year, is Betty Carter, the jazz singer,
yes,
from 1980. What is the significance of the audience with Betty Carter?
Well, I've always loved that title,
instead
of just Betty Carter Live, which everybody, you know, has an album out that just is their name with Live at the end of it. You know, she picked that name, and I think it was because, you know, she knew that she was at her best in front of an audience, the right kind of audience. And by 1979, she'd been in the business close to 30 years, and it was often a frustrating business for her. But in the 70s, she was really able to take control of her career. She started her own label, Bet Carr, and was issuing albums. And the audience with Betty Carter is, it's not a single performance. It's drawn from three nights in San Francisco. But, you know, you can just hear her, reaching a peak. You know, and, you know, reaching out to the audience responding, and you know, in a, you know, the late 70s was not a great time to be a jazz singer, yet that's when she broke through.
So this is Betty Carter with the 1980 record, The Audience with Betty Carter.
So make your choice, and you know, you do your thing. Your grass, it will turn green. Believe, believe, if the pitch is low and straight, you gotta be on the case, you gotta stay on the move.
Betty Carter, Sounds Moving On is the name of the song, the album, The Audience with Betty Carter from 1980, the most recent recording on this year's list of inductees into the Library of Congress's National Recording Registry. Matthew Barton, the curator of recorded sound there at the Library of Congress, joining us as he does around this time each year on Soundcheck. Lots of stuff from the 70s, Matt. Bee Gees, Saturday Night Fever, the first Ramones record, the Wild Chapatulas, the Mardi Gras Indian tribe. I mean, this is kind of a cross-section of American music and culture of the 70s, isn't it?
Yeah, some of which was, of course, enormously popular, like Saturday Night Fever, and other things which, you know, reached a smaller audience, like the Ramones, or only reached a very local audience, like the Wild Chapatulas in New Orleans, yet they have endured.
And all three, you know, with very long musical legacies. Here's just a brief clip from each. The Wild Chapatulas with Brother John. You heard a little bit of the Ramones' Blitzkrieg Bop and the Bee Gees' Stayin' Alive. All of those recordings issued in 1976-77, all of them now part of the Library of Congress's National Recording Registry, which each year adds 25 new recordings to the library's registry. And each year, Matthew Barton talks us through some of them on Soundcheck. You can visit our website for a complete list of this year's 25 new additions to the Library of Congress at soundcheck.org. And Matt, you started by telling us that, you know, in terms of nominating, there's like a group of professionals from the music industry and stuff, but that there's also, you know, the public gets involved. There is one record on the list this year that I have to assume was very much a public nominating favorite, and that is Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd.
Yes, absolutely, very much so. And you know, of course, Pink Floyd is a British group.
Yeah.
But you know, what an impact they had. That record, you know, is still selling today.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, you know, inescapable, I think.
Right. So even though they're British, still culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant here in the States.
Right, right.
Okay.
Now, there are a handful of other British groups and also recordings from other countries on the registry. It is dominated by American recordings, but, you know, there's the line is not always stark. It's not always a black and white distinction.
All right, Matthew Barton is the curator of recorded sound at the Library of Congress. Matt, thanks so much for joining us again this year.
My pleasure. See you next year. It's not.